What's a nice man like you doing tackling an icky subject like child porn
Yeah.
and because it touchy subjects, deftly handled, by the way.
Well, I hope it is deftly handled. But it isn't as though I, set out to do it and said, I think what I'd do is I'll write a novel about convicted sex offenders living under a causeway and, pedophiles mixed together with, people who were busted for crossing lines they didn't know existed and that sort of thing. Internet addiction and porn addiction and all. That's a good idea for a novel, I've never worked that way. What I find as happens is that a subject or a story or a character or a context, as in this case, chooses me rather than I go out and choose it. And in this case, as in every case of writing, for me, writing fiction is a way to penetrate something, to understand something on a deep, deep level. That is otherwise mysterious to me, that I otherwise can't connect to emotionally or intellectually or imaginatively. And it's only through the, the process of writing fiction that I'm able to do that. And this was a sort of a context and a kind of character and a world that was mysterious to me and impenetrable in some ways. Only through writing a novel could I kind of get close to it. I mean, happenstance, it came to me out of the blue, as it were. I live in South Florida, in Miami Beach, 6 months a year. And about 4 years ago, articles started appearing in the local newspapers about this colony of men living under the Julia Tuttle Causeway down there. Connects the mainland to the barrier islands that make up Miami Beach. And I could see it, the causeway, from my terrace. Could look out and see that terrace. And I just started imagining what it must be like to be caught there, to be a kind of incompetent and naive and marginalized and maybe alienated kid to begin with who crossed a line somewhere and ended up becoming a convicted sex offender, a loser, one of those kids who manages to get through high school with no skill set and barely literate and knows nothing except what's in front of him, lost in the internet, lost in a digitalized universe. And it was easy enough to imagine a kid like that. And so that's sort of what drew me toward the material. Before I made any decision to write a novel about it, I was exploring it. The whole thing of unintended consequences of good intentions, the good intentions being, oh, let's pass a law and it requires any convicted sex offender to live beyond 2,500 feet where there might be children. And then the unintended consequences is that then you create a housing problem for a whole lot of people and a growing population too. And so what do you do then? Well, we stick them underneath the causeway and they're like trolls under a bridge. We won't have to admit that they're there. And so that part of it attracted. Then I wanted to do research on what the heck, is a convicted sex offender? What's the legal background here? What's the history of it in the United States? And also, what's driving this kind of regulatory apparatus that we're setting up? Where after they get out, they have to wear monitors and be under 24-hour surveillance for years and years, and in some cases they're trying to pass laws that require it for life after they've served their time. What's the history of that, and what's the hysteria that drives that, the fear that drives that? So I was just sort of exploring all this, and out of that, emerged the character of the kid, and I just said, well, maybe I'll give it a shot and see if I can tell the story from the point of view of a kid who's trapped like that, and see what it feels like, and see if I can find the right voice for it and begin. And then the rest is history, as they say. 3 years later, we have a novel.
I felt like a sex offender by the end of it, and this idea of desires and cravings and
Well, I think because you end up inhabiting the mind and the feeling, emotional life, the world of the kid, the way I did. And writing it. You've spent however many hours you were reading that inside the head of the kid, pretty much. and sometimes inside the head of the professor. And so you would come out of that feeling like, you know, touched by that in some way and changed by that. I think that happens, that it's a much more pleasant experience to be inside the head of the kid than it is the professor, because the kid is basically honest, and he's basically essentially trying to figure out how to be a good person. He doesn't know, he doesn't have much of a skill set to get there, or not many tools to work with, but that's what he's questing, and he's trying to figure it out against great odds. And he has a kind of slightly slanted sense of humor. So being there is kind of, it has its bright spots, let's say, and the moments when he sees things from a really outsider's angle of vision, and I think he's seeing it freshly as a result.
The book is Lost Memory of Skin. I've been speaking with the author, Russell Banks, and Lost Memory of Skin is published by Knopf Canada.